Happy Wednesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on Memorex from a remote location. It's hot. Well, relatively speaking, it's not hot yet. But considering the time of day it is, it's hot. And it's going to be hot. But I'm not too much worried about that, as I will be in air conditioning most of this heatness, working, making money, which is kind of where I wanted to go with this, in that my life is good. My life is good. I can't complain. Well, I can complain, but it's weird. Okay, I'm at my mother's, right? The woman who has done more for me than anybody in the universe. Give her more of herself to me, created me, blah, blah, blah. Still, Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. Ain't my fault if I'm spoiled. It ain't my fault if I'm spoiled. And for the most part, considering what she's going through at her age and dealing with health issues and such, she's doing very good. I mean, as far as, you know, taking care of her and being with her and all that, she's doing very good. But Jeffrey Scott Mitchell has a high bar, a very high bar when it comes to Jeffrey Scott Mitchell's personal space or personal world or the energy and or atmosphere or that sphere around him. Very high bar. I expect no compromise, minimal compromise. No, I expect no compromise, but I know that being human in this life, I have to settle the compromise and understanding and giving the human beings quirks and impediments on what I subjectively believe to be the way things should be around Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. But my pet peeve of my mother, if I dare to say that, and I am Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, so I dare to say that in the most blasphemous, inappropriate, whatever word you want to put on it, unmannerly way. Her TV set is on all the time. And she old, so she don't hear as good. I even set up speakers so the sound would be closer to her ear. That don't seem to matter. I'm gonna have to work another system. What happened is the extension cord, the extension jack that I use to get the headphones, I mean, the speaker's close to her ear. Looks like it broke, so only one speaker plays. And that speaker sometimes gets loud. And she'll fall asleep, and it'll change channels, and it'll be like super loud. And she, you know, it doesn't affect her. Her TV is on 24 hours a day. And you can hear it from the bedroom in which I sleep. All night. And she's watching it, you know. It's not like, you know, so most of the time she is watching it. And even when she falls asleep and I go in there and turn it down, she'll wake up. Yeah, where's my TV? And for me, having lived by myself for probably more than half my life, and the environment in which I've grown accustomed to, in which silence is golden, where I love and maybe even pursue a state where the only thing I hear is my voice in my head thinking, pondering, wondering. I've grown to almost be, I don't want to say addicted to that state, but I do love it a lot and I do enjoy being there. And a lot of times I find myself wanting to be there more than anything else. Something may come up, something cool, something funky, and I'm like laying there, you know, we could just stay here and talk to ourselves and think to ourselves and stay within this, stay within the Jeffrey, uninterrupted. So I do know that I need to be tolerant. And tolerant is the word I want to use. Tolerant of people infringing in the Jeffrey sphere. Because we are sharing this planet. We are sharing space. We are cohabitating. I need other human beings. I need other individuals. I need persons. And I need people as a whole. I am part of an organism. I understand that. But I do believe that for somewhat, to a degree, somewhat, humanity would be a little better off if we were a little more selfish, self-aware, and more apt to taking care of ourselves. And I hesitate when I say that because I know so many people who, for the most part, have no idea of themselves. They can't even think in terms of themselves. You ask them what they want, they can't even tell you. You ask them what they want, first words that come out of their mouth is something about somebody else. And we need those people. We probably need those people more than I can realize, especially in the evolution and development of civilization and socialization and becoming the thriving species that we are. Something had to evolve in us beyond empathy, beyond that. But for me, my identity, what I want, what I like, what I need, comes so far first that I have to sometimes pull back, gauge it to the environment and people around me, and then maybe iterate it out loud. Because even though I'm gonna do what I wanna do, and everybody can kiss my ass, I ain't trying to offend nobody. I'm not trying to be a badass and say, yo, you know, F y'all, I'm gonna do what I wanna do. It's not like that, no. Even though it might be, it's not that to that, it's not like that. Like I said, even though that pretty much might be my thinking, it's not really to that degree. I do have, I wouldn't say compassion for other people, but I do have an understanding that I'm not the only one. There's others, I need others. Big part, you gotta play the game, you gotta be in the game. It is a team sport, life is a team sport to a degree. And it might not be no I in team, but the show is an ME. Somebody said Kobe said that one time. Wanted to use it. So, I mean, I'm staying at my mother's. Nice place. Comfortable. air conditioning, you know, accommodating. I really got no problems or nothing truly, truly to complain about. I take that back. I have something to complain about. I probably don't have anything to worry about. There's a difference. Complaining about, I think it's human. I think complaining may even get a bad rap, because a lot of times it's through complaining we discover what we need, especially me. If something bugs me or I complain about something three times, I go, okay, I got to address this. And I address it because I don't want to be complaining about it. I want it fixed or eliminated. But I cut this on. Talk about that damn TV going on all day. I mean, all day. You can just hear, you know, you don't hear exactly what they're saying, but you can just hear it, you know, as it vibrates against the walls. And it's not a big speaker, but the way the place is set up, my bedroom is right over hers right now, because I'm in a small bedroom, because my niece got the big bedroom where I usually sleep in, and I can shut the door and do this and do that to minimize that. But right now, I'm right above it. I'm right above it, and I hear the reverberate. I just hear it all night. If an air conditioner cuts on, that white noise takes it away, and that makes me feel better. I was thinking maybe I could sleep with one ear plug in, because technically, you know, me being here, I need to be aware if she needs something or she call me or anything. So not to the point that where, you know, I completely am out of it and completely detached. So I feel, you know, I should be at least able to hear if she call me or need me or anything in the middle of the night while I'm asleep. And maybe for me, the idea of infringement in the Jeffrey sphere probably carries more weight than it would for a lot of other people. I'm sure there's a lot of people who not only don't even mind if people invade their sphere, probably not only even welcome it, beyond that, probably don't even know when people have invaded their sphere or boundary, if they even have one. My sphere or boundary probably isn't big. You know, probably doesn't encompass a lot. It's like if I'm walking to this corner, my spirit doesn't span all the way across to the other corner. I could care less what they're doing over there to a degree. I can, you know, it doesn't matter. My spirit is probably moderate around me, but it's severe. It's severe and I'm highly sensitive to it. I'm just used to having things the way I want them. And it even comes down to how neat that I keep the place, how, you know, straightened up, dishes, you know, cleaned up, and orderliness, a certain amount of orderliness that I'm used to. Then when I go in other people's spheres, I know that, okay, you're in somebody else's space now. This is how they do it. You know, get along. But even with that, there's something in me that tries to implement or expose or, what's the word when you expand, or my ideas of the way things should be onto other people, hopefully gracefully. Hey, that doesn't even sound right, do it. Me being graceful. How can you be straightforward and graceful? Sure you can do it. Takes a lot of work, too much work, forget it. Just gonna say what I gotta say, to a degree, but I'm a lot better. I say that but it's not true. I'm a lot better. Because I also found out that, and also think of it this way too, that, and this is part of my ego, that I'm so far above everything and everybody else that I have to take responsibility for their behavior in my sphere. I can't give them the opportunity to work out my sphere. So I gotta actually have control and responsibility. If I said that already, I got distracted. I thought somebody was talking to me. They saw me doing the selfie stick thing. So I got distracted. And I, like when I'm walking, and I see somebody come walking towards me, we're like on the same path, I'll move over. I take that decision out of them. If I see an opportunity where I can eliminate another person's decision as they get close to the Jeffrey Spear, I do that. I take responsibility. I take responsibility basically for everything that happens to me. That's just the way I go at it. It has served me well. I can't say this or that or this happened and that happened and I couldn't. I take responsibility. When I wake up in the morning, my first thought is, what do I need to do to make it happen regardless? Racism, homophobiaism, whatever you want to call it, whatever. I don't even want to say homophobiaism, I just made that up. But any kind of ism, any kind of discrimination, I still take the responsibility on myself to get what I want. Even if it's unfair. There is no fair or unfair. There's no good or bad. There's no right or wrong. It's just up to me to get what I want. That's the way I go at it. I don't care about slavery. I don't care about legacy, redlining, wealth inequality, blah, 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 perception, microaggressions. I feel that I'm at a level of capability. I have attained a level of capability, and I've attained that level of capability from the people around me. Things have been contributed to me. People have taught me. I've learned from people. People have shown concern. And I'm just talking about teachers and my mother, parents, and adults. I'm talking about friends and people around me. All my life, they've contributed to Jeffrey. I could see it to where, like, even friends, 9, 10 years old, would show me things or do things for me. Say, hey, no, this is how this is done. This is the way we do this. Or, you know, just trying to help me learn. I took all that in. I remember a lot of that stuff. Carry it with me to this day. So that's how I came up with that kind of support around me. So it's like a fish don't know he's wet. I probably got it easy in life. Okay, no, probably. I probably had it easy. I took that easiness of learning and resources. I grew it to be something that I really understood and wanted. I tailored it for Jeffrey, and I built the Jeffrey that I wanted to be. And I've said before, and it's kind of all coming, seems to all be going to the same point, to where I don't think there's anything greater than a human being becoming the person that they want to be. I don't think there's anything greater than a human being. I don't think there's anything greater than a consciousness. a self-aware consciousness, as far as we know it, becoming whatever it is that they want to be. There's a diversity in that. It's 1,000% subjective, meaning my whatever I want to be is going to be different than yours. It could be different from societies. It could be this, it could be that. You could be, you want to be a murderer. If that's what you want to be, and you become the best murderer there is, who's to say? I don't think there's nothing greater than that. That's what you were led to become. That's what your consciousness pushes to. Good or bad. Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King, whatever. Good, you know, just to become that. And that goes back kind of to my later thinking, my latest reasoning, that nothing matters. That nothing really matters. There is no ultimate good, bad, right or wrong, up or down. Everything is so subjective that even reality can be debated. The only thing that matters is self. The only thing that matters is what you believe matters. Now, you may want to align what you believe and what you feel precious and what you feel is good, bad, right, or wrong, along with other people, and you will get synergy from that. You will get that group feel, that happiness, togetherness, like you get in church. You all together, praying together, all focused on like one, for the most part, one idea of holiness or goodness or a goal or a mission. Just like when I go to a football game, stadium, 70,000 of us screaming together for that football team, it feels good. You feel, I think, evolved in us to get a sense of well-being or even a sense of safeness or whatever. Can't think of the word. In a social group like that. It's almost like support or, you know, when somebody gives you approval of what you're doing. You're all together, you're doing it. It feels good. It's one of the best feelings there is. Working as a team or together. Feel like you're big, part of bigger something bigger. Because the guy next to you believes as you do. And you, from that, you get an energy and an idea that what you're doing is quote unquote right and the right thing to do. And in saying that, I think I've gotten to the point that where I no longer need that. It took me a while. It took me a while because I had to figure out that there's certain things that I figured out that there were certain things that I wanted that I'm not going to get support. The atheism was one of them. Atheism, when I wanted to come out as being an atheist, I knew I wasn't going to get support. I knew I was going to do that by myself. And I learned to go out there and do it by myself. And I learned to see the signals of doing something by myself that may be against popular belief and how people reacted to it. It's like everybody across the board is going to say no, 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 no. But in the way they say no, how they say no, if they don't say no when they should have, and I start to notice and pick up on these things. You know, if I was to say something, blah, 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 and I would notice that a no reaction, that no reaction was good. I'm like, oh. So I hit something. You heard me. I know you heard me. But, and I learned that. And then from that, I just began, was able to just start to develop into doing things without approval from a group or recognition publicly or whatever. And recognition publicly could even be negative. I noticed, too, that if I said something and a whole bunch of people said, no, 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 you get a lot of uproar, that was good, too. I was like, okay, I hit a nerve. I learned that that was a thing, too. I'm like, oh. But I learned how to basically do things without being engaged with another person. And also, you could maybe say that I'm engaged virtually, social media wise, online, because of the platform of Facebook. That definitely plays a part in it. I definitely get a lot of energy from Facebook. Just reading through stuff, somebody say something that'll trigger me, which is becoming less and less. Which is becoming less and less because more and more I'm starting to believe that nothing really matters. And that's not a bad thing. More and more I'm starting to realize that nothing really matters. So things really shouldn't trigger me. And going back to my ego, I'm so capable and above it all, it shouldn't affect me anyway. And even when I was getting triggered, I understood that I was using that triggering as an emotional response, emotion to motivate me to write. Some of the best stuff I've written is because I seen a post or somebody said something to trigger me. And I don't want to say anger me. Triggered is the perfect word. That's one thing that the wizard woke up, what is it called? The wokey? Woke something? Woke syndrome or whatever they call it. That they got right, triggering. I go with you. I understand triggering perfectly. Well, pretty good. I take in the triggering. And so, even though I know but now I've evolved, or seems to evolve to the point to where I'm like, hey, you know, nothing matters. And people, you know, get on Facebook or whatever, they talk about the plight of black people this, black people that, white people this, white people that, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter. It's not that what they say doesn't matter. Number one, it does, and it does a lot to them. And that's where my focus and my beliefs and my really thrive, or whatever the word is, goes. That it means something to them. That I strongly believe in support. But beyond that, in a global universal sense, I'm like, nothing matters. So why should somebody getting online or on a Facebook feed and calling so-and-so Uncle Tom or a step and fetch it because they have ideas that they don't agree with? They go ad hominem on them. Forget about what they said. They don't even attack the argument. They attack the person. Oh, he just saying that because he's Uncle Tom. Yeah. But what about what he said? Is it right or wrong? Is what he said true or not? Is it accurate? That would trigger me. But even that, I'm like, what's the point? It doesn't matter. And it's not like it doesn't matter, what's the point? We're all doomed anyway. But it kind of is. And what is doomed? What does doom mean? Doom is relative. Even if humanity is doomed, what does that mean? Doomed has a negative connotation. So I guess when you say doom, you mean something negative. You don't even, it might not even be a negative connotation. It might not even be a negative outcome that can fit that. There may not even be a negative scenario that can fit the idea of being doomed. But when you use the word doom, you're trying to point out a situation in which the outcome is looked at to be negative or bad, whatever bad again. Like I said, in my world, it comes all back again. In my world, there is no negative, good, bad, right or wrong. So a lot of that, it just doesn't matter anymore to me. Because we're going to be okay. whatever okay means. See? Okay implies good, bad, up or down, which is meaning that humans created. We apply meaning, which is so relative that it kind of doesn't matter. But we do have, I do think that human beings, and even me, do have a generalized understanding of what people mean. At least that, I can say that. I at least know what people mean, or I think I know what they intend to say or mean when they use words good or bad, when they speak in such broad generalizations that are unrealistic. And I understand what they mean. I leave it at that. If I was to be a debater or a linguist or something and wanted to break it down into a scientifically point-by-point thing, I could probably destroy it. But sometimes you just know what the person means, even though they're not saying it right. And there was a time where I would take apart people's arguments, even though I knew what they meant, but they just weren't saying it right. And you get them frustrated, and, you know, you go on from there. Once you get them frustrated, you can do pretty much anything you want to with them. It's kind of a Donald Trump move, where he's famous for it now, because he got Hillary a couple of times on a national stage. But she tried to hold it together. But sometimes you just got to let it go. Sometimes you just got to let them have it. And we're going to learn that one day. We're going to learn that one day. Anyhow, and also, with my understanding that nothing really matters but the self, and that I really don't want to talk about any social political ideas or this or that anymore, because nothing really matters. It just is. The direction of humanity and life, it doesn't matter if life was wiped out completely off the face of the universe. What difference does it make? Until we know that, what's the point? So maybe that comes back to me, to where more and more, the only thing I talk about is me. And it goes exactly what I'm saying. The only thing that matters is the self. Subjectively, what I think and what I do and what I experience this reality is the only thing that matters. It should be the only thing that matters to a very high degree. And I just said that raw. I'd have to look into it more, and I'll probably correct it or adjust it later. So maybe that's why I'm at the point now that where all I do is talk about me. Because that's maybe not only the most relevant subject, but maybe the only subject. And in talking about me, I'm talking about how I feel about things, how I personally feel about the abortion laws, about all the social political activities that they try to trigger us with in the news media. Even about what I think about people. Even what I think about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think about the news, Biden and Trump and politics and all that. Maybe that's all there is. And this whole idea of self that I started years ago, and the more recent idea that I'm coming to conclusions I seem to be coming to, that nothing really matters, it all comes back to self. And Jeffrey. And that would be Jeffreyism, where the individual places themselves at the center of the universe and realizes that everything, including reality, is subjective to each individual. And if they want to have a good or bad, if they want to believe in the Bible or the Quran or whatever book, That's up to them. It's all about what they want to do, the individual. It seems to be, and I was thinking also, there's probably topics and stuff that I've talked about here that I've repeated, or certain, you know, stories I tell or anecdotes that I tell repeatedly. And I realize that I'm cool with that because there's something in me that keeps going back to that. And I like that. There's something in me that keeps going back to that for a reason, subconsciously, whatever. And I'll see it in the videos over and over, repetitively, and that point will be reinforced and I'll have to revisit it. Why did I keep bringing up that story? Why did I keep telling that same story over again? Why do I always fall back to that one? And then as I'm just talking, out here saying how I feel, what I think, how things affect me, what I believe. And you know, if people were to do that and stop attacking other people, notice I don't even attack other people anymore. I stopped that years ago. I don't even attack anything anymore. I don't even care what other people think. And if I do and it triggers me, I don't attack them. Number one, I believe that they're allowed to be. They're allowed to believe whatever they, I was going to say, they're allowed to be wrong. And that's just a funny way of, you know, a cool, slick sound way to put it. Because, you know, I don't believe there's no right or wrong. But they're allowed to be that. They're allowed to think that. And to condemn them or say, you know, attack them for that, years ago I stopped doing that. So now I take that energy and I put it in to developing a output that contradicts that. Not even contradicted, maybe contradicted, but that explains how I feel. To explain how I feel. Just to put out there how I feel. Forget what you think, believe. You say something I strongly disagree with, I'm not going to attack you. You might not even know that you said it. It didn't, you know, that I didn't agree with it. But sometimes I might place my little video or something in a place where I know you can be meant to you. And sometimes I even have mentioned people, you know, loosely, that they that let them know kind of that, hey, this person said something that I just, you know, but I don't attack them. I just go after their argument at best. And I really don't go after their argument. I just try to say what I believe, how I think it should be. And I think if we can get to that, and so much less conflict talking or debating. And though I'm used to that, that's kind of what I've been primed on and quote unquote grew up with. Even in my podcast now, I tend to go to the ones that debate. So if I have, see, like a Jordan Peterson versus Sam Harris, I mean, two people who I know, who I trust have studied this craft, put in years of work. You know, people I listen to who I know have pulled some of the greatest resources together and put them in a way that I just understand and I align with and I get. Even if I don't align with them or understand or agree with them, I understand them just so eloquently, and they did the work. When those two go up against each other, it's very interesting to hear what they got to say. You know, because they, you know, they're like experts, quote unquote, experts. But in discussion, if we can get to where we just wake up in the morning and we see Trump did something we didn't like, instead of attacking him and saying he's stupid or this or that, or attacking him, present an alternative. Present an alternative or a belief of the way you think it should be handled, or why one way would be better. You don't even got to say, oh yeah, he did this. This is terrible. This is going to happen. It's going to be terrible. I mean, you can throw that in. You can do anything you want, number one. Number one, you can do anything you want. Everybody's going to do everything you want, and it really doesn't matter. But in my idea of it, in my idea of my Jeffreyism, you know, I'm just going to build. I feel inadequate if I don't build an argument. If I'm not building it something, if I'm tearing down, even if it's what you're doing, even if it's something that you disagree with. I don't feel that's the best method. But I want to build something up that just overtakes and outshines anything you may say or do. Or something like that. Or an argument or an idea. Build a better idea. Let the capitalism market take over. And let the best idea win. Anyway, my name is Jeffrey. Swinging on y'all two times. For me, and for the funk. And for every elementary particle that's ever existed in any atom. In this, or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be. A totality of it all. A theory of universe. A hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.